Okay.
Are they also the same as we're talking, you know, those saints that go into the tribulation, are these also the same?
No. So we have many different groups. But what, when we talk about the nations, then we have them in Revelation 7. They go through the tribulation and they will believe the Lord Jesus. They will be kept by the Lord Jesus and they will be enter the world to come on this earth. Those who die during that time, they will be resurrected at the beginning of the millennium. They will be in heaven. And the other question you mentioned, the point you mentioned, the goats are really representative of the unbelievers in the nations. And they will be judged right away, at the beginning of the millennium, and they will be finally judged at the judgment seat of Christ, at the great white throne judgment, after the millennium. So they will be somewhere in the line of death during the millennium, but they will be risen to be judged at the great white throne judgment. Immediate judgment. Yeah. Because it's future, yeah. So they will be immediately judged and die. Those who are faithful, they will enter the millennium. And so at the beginning of the millennium will only be believers. Because the unbelievers among the Jews, they will have been killed. And so there will be only believers at the beginning of the millennium. And then many people will be born during the millennium. There will be an explosion of the population. The earth will contain, the earth has enough resources to feed all those people, even if there will be 20 billion. We don't know how many will be there. But there is enough resources, and then it will be a time of blessing. So God will take away the curse, so there will be prosperity all around. So that's no problem. But then the only thing is that if someone is not a believer and rejects the leadership of Christ, he will be killed the same day or the next morning. Whereas God will have patience with the people who are not believers yet, but then by the end, by the time that they turn 100, people have not accepted the Lord, during that time they will be killed at that moment. And then at the end of the millennium, when Satan will be released from the prison where he will be during the millennium, he will seduce those people who have not accepted the Messiah, and they will follow then Satan's leadership. So indirectly that shows that they must be all younger than 100 years who will be then led by Satan. Because people who are 100 years and have not accepted the Messiah, they will be killed. So that means that those who will follow Satan's leadership when he will release from prison, they must be less than 100 years. And there will be a tremendous multitude because the population will increase in numbers during all those years. So people who start at the beginning of the millennium, they will turn to be 1,000 years at the end, and they will still be alive. And then somehow they will be transformed into the eternal state. But that's another chapter to study. Is that enough for your question now? Other question before we continue?
In Revelation 12, where it talks about the woman and the dragon, you were saying that the woman, referring to the mother of Christ.
Yeah, Israel, really, as a nation.
Verse 6 says the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared by God. She might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Would that be when Joseph and Mary took Christ to Egypt?
No, it is really in connection with the future. So when Satan's wrath will be poured out over the Jewish believers, because there will be Jewish believers in Israel, and they will be fiercely persecuted, but then God will preserve them. That's the point. And God will have a way to preserve them even in that difficult time. So shall we move on? First thing I want to mention, I have an article that's on the screen there. If you want to write down the, it has about 26 pages about prophecy, dispensations, covenants. And it starts with a few points about the greatness of God, the God as the creator, They haven't declared the glory of God. So if you read that first page, that is, to me, that's an interesting page. And then it goes on to speak about God's prophetic plan and so on. But all those details we cannot just go into right now. But you can read that at home. Then the other point I want to show you is this map. We talked about Daniel's 70th week. So we go back to Daniel 9. And then we also want to make the connection with Revelation 13. So we were in Daniel 9. And we have seen that verse 27, the he is a reference to the prince that shall come. So that's the leader of the Roman, the revived Roman Empire. He will make that deal with Israel, that covenant that he will impose on them for 1 week, for 7 years. And in the middle of that period, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So that is why we come to that 3.5 year period, a time, times, and half a time, or 42 months, or 1260 days. That's the time that the sacrifice will be stopped and that there will be tremendous persecution. If you keep your finger here and you turn just briefly to Revelation 13, then you see how tremendous persecution will take place. So Revelation 13, we saw already the first beast out of the sea. And I mentioned that the beast represents the whole empire, but the beast is also the leader. So that's the leader of the Roman Empire, and we call it the first beast. And he will cause the whole world to worship Satan. And then, because of that, we see then tremendous persecution. If you go to verse 7, there was given to it to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and there was given to it authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. So there will be tremendous persecution. And verse 8 spells it out, all that dwell on the earth shall do it homage, and everyone whose name had not been written from the founding of the age, of the world in the book of life of the slain lamb. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So that shows the responsibility that every human being has. You have ears to hear. And this is a solemn warning to be an overcomer instead of be overcome by the enemy. And so that warning is also for us today. We are not living in that time frame, but we are also warned in connection with things to come. But then when you go to verse 11, you have another beast. That's the second beast. That is the beast rising out of the earth. The earth is connected with Israel. And this beast has two horns like a lamb. So he's a counterfeit lamb. He's like a lamb, but he speaks as a dragon. So he is really Satan's mouthpiece. He speaks on behalf of the dragon. And it says in verse 12, he exercises all the authority of the first beast before it. So in other words, he's the minister of propaganda for the first beast. So the leader of Israel will make a deal with the Western world, with the first beast. And he will then also cause the whole earth to worship the first beast, whose wound of death was healed. On top of that, we'll see in 2 Thessalonians 2, if you make a note, verse 2 and 3 and 4, you see that this leader, this second beast, will also put himself in the temple of God, and he will be worshipped. So what you see then, the first beast will be worshipped there, and for the first beast, he will make a statue. And that's what you have here in Revelation 13. Deceive the people, and then he make that statue in verse 14, the image to the beast whose wound was healed. And then in verse 15, it was given to give a breast to the image of the beast. So now you have that image that's put there in the temple, and it comes to life. It starts to speak. So that is the power of the second beast. He makes this first beast a statue, an image, to honor him, and that statue will also come to life and speaks. And it causes people who do not fall into that idolatry to be killed. There will be tremendous persecution. That is what the rest of the chapter explains. And it is also mentioned in verse 17 that the mark of that beast is 666. So those who follow the leadership of the first beast and the second beast, they will accept that mark of the beast, 666. Whereas those who refuse to take that mark, they will be severely persecuted. And among those persecuted, many will die, and they will be raised at the beginning of the millennium, Revelation 20, verse 4. And those who will survive, they will be protected by the Lord, they will enter the rule, the reign of the Lord on this earth. Now, there are many more details, but I just wanted to make the connection between Daniel 9 and Revelation 13. Because what we see in Daniel 9 is that first beast is the one who makes that covenant in verse 27. He makes that covenant with the many. The many are the people in Israel who follow the leadership of the second beast. And that is the many. Sometimes the many refers to believers. In this case, the many refers to the unbelieving Jews who will accept the leadership of the two beasts. And by the way, the second beast is also called the king. That's why you have in Daniel 11 verse 36, all of a sudden, when he speaks about this battle between the king of the north, I mentioned that earlier, and the king of the south, Syria and Egypt were all fighting all the way. And then Israel suffered under that too, under Antiochus Epiphanes. Then the temple was desecrated, and then the Maccabees and restoration of the service in the temple after those 2,300 sacrifices were skipped. But anyway, that is the background that, I lost my train of thoughts now, that in the future there will be a similar desecration. So there was a desecration in the past, and now this first beast will cause that sacrifice to stop, and there is another desecration of the temple, because at that moment that statue will be placed there in the temple. So that is like a desecration, as was in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes. And that's why I said those elements of history in the past, like in Daniel 8, were predicted in Daniel 8. It became history, but they represent images of things that will be reproduced in the future. And that's what we find here. This wing of abomination in verse 27. Wing is protection. They protect themselves against the dangers of the attack from Iran and other countries who want to wipe out Israel. They find that protection guaranteed by the Western world, by the leader of the Western world, the first beast. The second beast promotes that. And then, because of that idolatry, the statue will be placed there. The second beast will be worshipped as God. The first beast will be worshipped as God. So, and Satan will be worshipped as God. There is a counterfeit trinity. And that counterfeit trinity causes then for God to send judgment. God will send the king of the north to attack Israel. Israel will be taken by the king of the north. Jerusalem will be taken. And then there will be a remnant that survives even that difficult time. You find that remnant in Revelation 11. But because of that idolatry, there will be a desolator. That's the king of the north. That protection that they wanted will not work. God will send the desolator, and there will be consumption. And that's why I said refer also to Isaiah 10 and 28. That is determined by God's plan. And it will be poured out upon the desolate. That is the temple that will be destroyed. It's Jerusalem that will be destroyed. It will be taken by the king of the north. God's judgment will be poured out. It's the consumption that speaks of God's judgment that will be poured over them because of the rejection of the Messiah. Now, we'll go back to that map now. I hope you can hear it. This is a very detailed map, and if you want to have more details, you can perhaps download that too. I'm not sure if I put it on the site already. But there you have 70th week. Thank you. So, in Matthew 24, you have to read so many different scriptures together. Matthew 24 will be another study to make the parallel between Matthew 24 and Revelation and Daniel 9. But the Lord calls that the beginning of sorrows. That are judgment, that we call the seal judgment. You find them in Revelation 6. That is the beginning of that second period of the 70th week. So the 70th week starts here, and during the first half there are judgments, but that is not the fulfillment of God's plan yet. In the middle of that week, that statue will be put in the temple, and actually that goes together with what we read in Revelation 12. Satan will be cast out of heaven, and then he will be worshipped as God in the temple of God on this earth. So you have to read also Revelation 12 in this, and then you'll find here three periods of days mentioned. The 1260 days represent the one and a half, the 3.5 years that I mentioned of the Great Tribulation. Then after the Great Tribulation, God will send those seven bowl judgments. You have seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments. God calls people to repentance, but they don't want to repent. And then God's final judgment is the bold judgment. They are summarized in Revelation 14. A whole summary is given of them. But as a result of this, Israel, a remnant, will be restored. The 10 tribes will be regathered. You find it in Ezekiel 37, 39. But then there will also be an attack from Gog and Magog from the far north. And they will fall on the mountains of Israel. That is perhaps during those days that are mentioned in chapter 12. In chapter 12 you find those three different periods. You find the 1260 days, that's the Great Tribulation. Then you have 1290, that is 30 days after that. God will also judge the king of the north. All the judgment take place, Armageddon first, then the king of the north will be killed and come to his end. And also the nations around Israel will be judged. But then Israel will be restored, the 10 tribes come back, and perhaps some believe that the 75 days, so that is the end of those 1335 days, those 75 days, perhaps in those days, the king of the north will Gog and Magog will be come to their end. But there are not, it's not 100% clear whether that is the case. Some believe that the attack, the king of the far north, Gog and Magog, will be at the beginning of the millennium. But that would be a discussion or a study in itself. But what we find here with this overview, God gives an agenda to Daniel, what's going to happen. And that is really the key to understand prophecy. Without this outline, we cannot fill things in. So what we have in Revelation is additional information, but the key is here, the framework is here. And that goes together with Matthew 24, when the Lord speaks about the things that are going to happen, that the temple will be destroyed and so on. All is based on Daniel 9, because then the Lord says in Matthew 24, as Daniel the prophet. So when they see that statue in the temple, then the Lord says to the believers, you have to flee. So that is all connected with Daniel 9, and it's connected with, we saw in with Revelation 13. Now, I wanted to mention a few things about Revelation. Revelation gives us details that put everything in order. Revelation is a very important book, and so it gives additional information. It takes a lot of elements from the Old Testament, and there's a lot of quotes or references to the Old Testament, and then puts everything in order. And that is why in Revelation you have a structure wonderful outline, and that outline contains a lot of parentheses, and that makes it so difficult for us to understand, but we kind of run out of time to go into the details. But Revelation is a book that I really recommend to you. So you finish Daniel, and then you go to Revelation, and you find many more teachings about what's going to happen. Now, I don't know, perhaps it would be good to have a few questions about Daniel 9, and then we'll see what time is left. If there are some questions about Daniel 9, this difficult passage, then perhaps we can talk it now, yeah?
Daniel 9, you mentioned the man of sin. Is he the second
beast? Yeah, the man of sin is the second beast. So some call the first leader the Antichrist. Of course, he will be an Antichrist, because everything that is replacing Christ, the first leader, takes the place that belongs to the Lord as the great leader of the nations. But in that sense, he will be an Antichrist. But many believers, evangelical believers, think that the first beast is the Antichrist. And that's why they say it cannot be a Jew. But when you go to the second beast, you see it must be a Jew.
Yes.
And he is the Antichrist. He is the true Antichrist, the true counterfeit Christ. So the second beast, what we saw in Revelation 13, is the real Antichrist. He's like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. So he's a counterfeit lamb. He's a counterfeit Messiah.
And so, he's Jewish. He fools the Jews.
Yes, exactly. He must be a Jew. They would not accept someone who's not Jewish. So some people think that the first beast is the Antichrist, but then they say he cannot be a Jew. And that's right, he cannot be a Jew, because the Jews would not fall for that. But the second one will be a Jew, and he will fool them all, and he will make them worship the first beast. So,
another question, the second beast, is he from the tribe of Dan, which is not mentioned into the millennium?
He must be from the tribe of Judah, because he's a counterfeit Messiah. The Messiah came from Judah, so the counterfeit must also come from Judah. Of course, we know that many people believe Dan is not mentioned, so the Antichrist must be from Dan. But there are 13 tribes, if you include Levi. So in the list that you have, there's always one missing. And in some cases, there are even two missing. For a reason. So that, again, that would be a study in itself. It is very complex. But God has a reason for everything. God is a God of order, and he knows what he's doing. We don't always understand, but these are good questions. Other questions? So if we can just wrap it up a little bit. You had something?
Gospel is going out today.
The gospel is going out today.
Right. And so, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, those who don't heed the gospel today, God sends them a strong delusion, so they can't believe after the rapture.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yet, there is a great multitude saved through the tribulation. Where does that population come from?
Very good question. So, how can God have that great multitude if those who have rejected the gospel cannot be saved anymore? So let's just recap it. God will send a strong delusion at the rapture. At the rapture, when the rapture takes place, the people will notice that. And so they will believe the lie at that moment. Somehow that will be explained away. They will not understand this is the rapture, but it will be explained away by the enemy. And so maybe some believe even the New Agers will say the world, the earth has been purified now of elements that don't belong. Christians don't belong here anyways. So now they're gone. So this is the new millennium that we have. Now we have the New Age. That is the lie, of course. And so we can imagine that Satan will introduce the lie. But God is overruling that. Satan today, he has the lie of evolution. Satan is fooling people, but God allows it because they have hardened themselves. Romans 1, you read Romans 1. God sent even a reprobate mind so that they cannot understand the truth. They reject the truth and they cannot understand it. And something similar will happen, but even worse when God will send that delusion, that energy of error in 2 Thessalonians 2. So that means that those who have rejected the gospel, they cannot believe the gospel anymore because of that reprobate mind, because of God's judgment over them. Now, where do the believers come from? Because Revelation 7 shows us a great multitude that cannot be counted. So where do they come from? So outside the world that have been Christianized. So the world that has been Christianized has rejected the gospel, will follow the Antichrist. And so outside that immediate realm, God will have that tremendous harvest in Muslim countries, in pagan countries, from everywhere. And so God is going to have the greatest harvest in the most difficult time. That is even, that shows how great God is. Today the gospel is spread everywhere, but only a few believe. But then the gospel of the kingdom will be preached, not the gospel of grace that we have now, the gospel of the kingdom, saying, you know, you have to repent because the king is coming. You better make sure that you repent so that you're ready for him when he comes. That's the gospel that will be preached, and millions will believe that, a multitude that cannot be counted. And the point of Revelation 7 is to show that this multitude will go through the Great Tribulation, they will survive the Great Tribulation, and they will enter then the kingdom living on this earth. But at the same time, many people have believed, will be persecuted, as we saw in Revelation 13, they will die, but then they will be revived, they will be brought to life at the beginning of the millennium, and they will reign from heaven. They will be resurrected by the Lord. Revelation 20 verse 4 shows that. So not only the Jewish martyrs will be raised, also the Gentile martyrs will be raised, but they will be in heaven. Now the other people that survive that great tribulation is the Jewish believers on this earth. And they receive a mark, not the mark of the beast, but the mark, the seal of the Lamb. It's a seal. So God seals them. They cannot be touched by the persecution. There will be a severe persecution. As you have in Daniel 3, and that statue was placed there by Nebuchadnezzar, and he forced the people to worship that statue, but the friends of Daniel didn't do it. And so there will be tremendous pressure all over the world to worship the beast, to worship that image in the temple, but the true believers will not fall for that, but they will be persecuted. And among them, many will die, but among them, the 134,000 will survive that tribulation and enter the millennium on this earth. So God will have a heavenly portion. Beside the church, you will have a heavenly company. So you have a heavenly company in heaven, the Old Testament believers who will be the guests of the marriage feast of the Lamb. Then you have at the beginning of the millennium, others who join the heavenly scene, the those who survived the Great Tribulation among the nations and among Israel, they will be ruling from heaven with us. They will not have the same place. We are the queen. But they will be used by God as servants in the heavens to rule from heaven. God has a plan for them too. So it is very complex, but if you think of the great lines, how God is going, that's what my point. God is going to have the greatest harvest ever in the days of the tribulation. Of all these millions and millions who will be saved, they will survive. Those who die, they will be resurrected at the beginning of the millennium. God will always have the victory. In the time that the enemy seems to have the full control, and he will have the full control up to a certain point, even then God will have the greatest victory. That shows how great God is. Is that okay for your question? No? Yeah. And then the brother in the back. No, you go ahead, sir.
Matthew 24, does that allude to that persecution or the judgment of Christ? You know, two in the field, one shall be taken, one shall be left.
Okay. Matthew 24 is that persecution on this earth, that some will be taken by the judgment and others will survive to then be living in the millennium. Yeah. Is that okay? So some apply it to the rapture, but it's wrong. The rapture is not mentioned there. So it is a solemn warning for us. If there's an unbeliever here, make sure you get saved today because the rapture can take place anytime. But that's not the point of Matthew 24. And your question?
So my question would be, who's evangelizing the great multitude?
Very good question. Who is evangelizing that great multitude? God is going to use Israel for that, the Jewish remnant, who will be there, the 144,000. And they will evangelize the whole world. And they speak all the languages, even today, but that will be used by God to present the gospel, just like John the Baptist did, repent, because judgment is coming. And so they will have a great, they will be used to have that great harvest for God. So in Israel there will be a revival, but God's going to use those, that remnant also to preach the gospel all over the world. And now with the media today, like with the internet, you can see how that will work. Even today, in the Muslim world, people get saved who, humanly speaking, could never be reached, but through the internet, they can read the Bible. That's a forbidden book, but they can read the Bible, and they get saved just by reading the Bible. So God is going to do that also then later. And there is, will be an increase of technology. We already benefiting of the technology today, but that technology will be used by God, but also by the enemy, that's for sure. And that's still, that's already the case today. The enemy wants to use those gadgets and so on, but God wants to use them too. So we have a choice how we use all those gadgets. Will we use them for the glory of God or not? So that's a challenge for us today. One more question?
I'm still kind of puzzled about that question of the Orthodox Jews are the ones who are going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So today, for instance, if they're alive today, they are not, they have not rejected the gospel of the grace of God. They're simply steeped in Judaism.
Yeah. That's a very delicate point, because only God can measure in how far they have rejected the gospel of God's grace. Some have rejected it, so they don't have a second chance. But many don't know. They are just, how could they say, prejudiced. They think that is for the Gentiles, it's not for us. So they are prejudiced, and in that sense they have not rejected it yet.
So they're young too, aren't they young? They're a certain age. And also, don't they have the mark of God on them so they can't be killed?
Yeah, that's the seal that we talked about that earlier. So they will be God's instruments. God will use them. But the question was now, when they live today, those Orthodox Jews, what about today? Did they reject the message of God's grace? In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. So God's going to use them, save them. They are born again. They will be sent by God throughout the world to present that gospel of the kingdom. And there will be this tremendous harvest. And the point of Revelation 7 is, if we can just add to that, Revelation 7 gives a preview of what's going to happen in that difficult time. Revelation 8, 9, 10, 11 gives the detail of the great tribulation. And God will have this harvest in that time. That's just Revelation 7. And then Revelation 12, 10, 11, and 13, and 14 gives more details about that time. And also Revelation 17, 18, and 19 give more details about that. So we really need to study Revelation to have more insight in these things. But Revelation is a difficult book because some think it's just one chapter after the other, but there are these parentheses, these interruptions to give more information. So to give you an example, Revelation 7 gives us information about what's going to happen during that time, that difficult time when the seals are going to be opened in chapter 6. We'll also preview what's going to happen during the difficult time when the trumpet judgment takes place. God will have a great harvest. So that is just a parenthesis. Another parenthesis is in connection with the church. God gives details about that. So we really have to study Revelation and use that outline. I have an outline on the same website that we referred to earlier, about the structure of the book of Revelation. And if we follow that structure, we have an understanding. There are seven parentheses, and every parenthesis gives additional information. It interrupts, as it were, the flow of the chapters and gives additional information. So I leave that with you. I don't want to make it too complicated, but I want to close. If there's another question, then one more verse to read, and then we close with that. Can we go to Romans? That will be another book to study, Romans 9 to 11. I have an outline of that also on my website, but Revelation 9 to 11 is so important because Revelation 9 to 11 shows God's plan. Romans 9 to 11 shows God's plan with Israel. He has chosen them, but they rejected the Messiah. And then Revelation 10 shows there is grace today. You can be saved today. So listen to the gospel and be saved. That is Romans 10. But Romans 11 shows what God's going to do. He has a remnant now of believers like Paul, like my friend Gideon Levitan. They belong to that remnant in the church age. They are a remnant. But then what Romans 11 also shows, that the rejection of Israel is temporary. So it is partial because God has always a remnant. So out of that multitude, there is always a remnant. So that is why we say the rejection is partial. They are rejected now in God's ways because they rejected the gospel. They rejected the Messiah. But despite that, God has a remnant. And then the second limitation is it is temporary. There will be a time that all will be saved. In Romans 11, 26. We read from verse 26, Romans 11, 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. So now that's also a mystery. Verse 25 says this is a mystery, how this can be, that some accept the gospel, some are blinded, but it is until the fullness of the nations be come in. So God has a plan for the nations. In the meantime, Israel's mind is blinded so that they reject the gospel. They say this is for the Gentiles, it's not for us. And then in verse 26, God will come to the conclusion, all Israel shall be saved. That's at the end of the tribulation period. That is, those who are left represent all Israel. Because all the unbelievers will have been killed, either through the persecution of the Antichrist or the unbelievers among them. They will die in all those judgments that God will allow to happen. And then at the end of that period, there only the believers who are there, and they are all Israel. And they enter then the millennium on this earth to reign with Christ on this earth. And God will turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. So that takes God's intervention. In connection with that, I want to say one more verse, and then we conclude with Romans 11 at the end. Matthew 23. If you read Matthew 23, just before that Sermon on the Mount, or the outline by the Lord and the prophecy, at the end of Matthew 39, verse 39, in Matthew 23, he says, I will not come back until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So what's going to happen? That remnant that we're talking about is not only going to preach among the Gentiles to have that great multitude, that remnant will also preach among Israel. And there will be a change of heart. The leaders said, I said that earlier in another session, they accused the Lord Jesus of blasphemy. Those leaders will say, we were wrong. He was not guilty of blasphemy. He is the Messiah. We need to accept him. And then because of the pressure, the attack of the king of the north, they will be on their knees. They will repent and they will cry to God for help. And then they will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That is when Isaiah 53 will be fulfilled. Then you have the confession, Isaiah 53. They will confess what they did wrong with the Messiah, that he was killed and so on. All these details make sense in that connection. And so that brings it back then to Romans 11, because there you see God's ways. Romans 11 shows about God's ways. Now God's ways lead to salvation of many Gentiles. During the tribulation period, the gospel of the kingdom will go out. There's another part of God's ways. But at the end of it, Israel will be saved. How wonderful. That's why Paul says from verse 32, do you see God's government? Because of their unbelief, they are kept in unbelief so that now mercy can be shown to the nations, and ultimately mercy will be shown to Israel as well. And that's why Paul concludes in verse 33, O depths of riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. That's in connection with God's ways, how unsearchable his judgment and untraceable his ways. God's ways lead to the fulfillment of his plans. We talked about the eternal purpose, that's God's plan. Ephesians 3, the eternal purpose. All God's plans, also in connection with Israel, will be fulfilled through God's ways, and those ways are past finding out. Verse 34, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be rendered to him? For of him, and through him, and for him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. How great is our God. This is so wonderful. And that leads us to worship. Even when we consider his ways in government, it shows how great he is. When we mentioned the greatness of God as the creator God, it leads to worship. When we consider his ways, it leads to worship. When you consider his purpose, to have us for the Lord Jesus forever and ever, it leads us to worship. God is looking for worshipers, and he will have worshipers now in connection with the assembly, in the future in connection with Israel, and also the nations. God will have worship from different quarters, from different backgrounds. God will be worshipped and magnified, but we are the closest. God's grace was the greatest towards us, like Paul could say. And he belongs also to the church of the living God. So God receives all the glory. Whatever we consider in the scriptures, he will receive honor and glory. And that will never stop. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to use the Bible, the written word of God, to show the wonderful treasures in the word of God and bring us to worship through the endless ages of the eternity. Praise God. So maybe we can close in a word of prayer. Is that okay?